Hey guys, it's your hashtag Just Saying Podcast team. This is Tara.
And I'm Sean, and we're here to give you laughs and have a good time together.
Yeah, we are. We cover topics like classic and current movies, TV shows, and other pop culture facts.
Check out hashtag Just Saying on SoundCloud.
And iTunes.
YouTube.
And Stitcher.
Tune in each week and we're all have a good everything.
Yeah. No, I'm going to write that out.
And that.
I can't find my beard in the sun, but I don't know.
You did ask.
I got one for one.
She has to bring it back up.
I said this one's full.
What?
There's no new song left.
Not really.
And music till the dawn is breaking. I'm having a pleasure holding a fresh beer. I've been laughing. When you're on a spree, over the teeth behind the gums, look out, stomach, here she comes. I have another drink on me. Oh, thank you. Gurgle, 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 gurgle.
Well, no more to drink. I had a colorful, but now it's gone. A drink, the glasses clink. Like the anvil chorus in my head is splitter. A break it, a bust it. Oh, brother.
Oh, brother.
What do I do now? Pink elephants are running after me.
How are you doing, good?
Though the stuff was smooth as silk from now on.
I mean, I feel like I can breathe fire right now.
What are we drinking?
Esperilia?
Esperilia Sackway.
Stuff in a pretty green bottle. I think it was next to the Aston. And yes, if your first shot, Justin, what would you say? Your first shot, you kind of felt something.
Yeah. No, I definitely felt it.
A little tickle in the back of your brain, kind of
like? Like, in the front of my brain, but yeah.
Yeah, I got that warm in the back of my head.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're down a few of those shots now.
Yeah, more. And the...
I'm not
going to lie, everything seems to be a different color.
For saying I'll never drink one, I'm having the one done kind of thing after the first shot. You've been pretty solid now. You're doing good.
It's fucking nasty.
I don't think it's that nasty. I mean,
but it's not in me to be the first one to tap, so.
Well, 55 or 56%,
56.
Right?
56 yeah. Proof.
Proof.
No, percent.
Right. Yeah.
So that'd be 112 proof.
112 proof. That's strong proof.
That's 12 proof more than I'm used to drinking.
Yeah, we used to do
Rumpelman's. It's 100 proof.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50%. Okay.
So 12 more proof than you get. Yeah. Okay, not but 6%.
6 more percent.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
It's got a kick to it, though. It's got that little pure alcohol kind of kick to it.
Yeah,
though.
You can. It definitely tastes kind of like grain alcohol somewhere in between the. It
smells like ether.
The juniper and the.
Yeah, somewhere between the juniper and the made up word.
The cardamom or the one that's a Q-E-W-N-E-N?
Yeah, that one. Cardamom, I know what that is.
We kind of look at it kind of like acid without the wormwood we were thinking.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Interesting. Maybe check out the acid, maybe.
Yeah, I would have preferred that Van Gogh shit.
It's like the Art Mar.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
because
there's supposed to melt sugar cube in it.
Yeah. We get sugar cube.
The store?
You have to smash them together, like... the Play-Doh machines?
Yeah, Jason, that's exactly how it works. No, what you do is you fill up an ice cube tray and then and then you stick it in the freezer for a couple of hours. And there you go.
Oh, shit.
But they're warm, though, when you...
Yeah, well, they get warm after you melt them.
They don't fall apart when they thaw, though?
Sometimes.
They're supposed to when you run them under
the
lamp. Okay. So what are we
doing? Yeah, that's called dissolving.
Hey, guys.
What is this? This is Drunk Film Commentary.
It is.
Welcome to another great episode.
Oh, it's got all the makings of a good one.
of the traditional format of drunk film commentary, where we actually talk about a movie.
Yeah. As we watch the movie.
Yes. And this week, we're doing, just in time, we're doing your pick.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Yeah, have you told any about that movie?
It's got Sam Rockwell in it. It's, I don't know. It's a pretty good movie. I liked it. My girlfriend, she, Castle fan?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you
recently. I don't know. Just my phone vibrated, so I don't know.
maybe not.
I kid. She recommended it to me, and she watched half of it, and then went to bed, and I stayed up and watched the other half. And I don't know. I liked it. I thought it would be a good movie for us to do.
Yeah,
it's kind of long. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
We should get started, huh?
Yeah.
Get started right up here.
I have a feeling I'll be drunk.
It's We found it on Amazon, which Danny has now. She's a student.
So I have student Prime,
nice.
Which makes it free.
Nice.
Would you like a hand?
It's not reaching.
I got you.
Give me another hand here.
Okay. Play from beginning.
Well, you had it set at the beginning, didn't you?
No, it was like a few seconds in. From the beginning.
Oh, no, no.
So we're starting it up right now. Here it goes, loading up. And we are watching Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. It's a 2002 biographical spy comedy film depicting the life of popular game show host and producer Chuck Barrett, who claimed to have also been an assassin for the CIA. This film was directed by George Clooney as his feature film debut. It was written by Charlie Kaufman. It stars Sam Rockwell, Julia Roberts, Drew Barrymore, and George Clooney.
And it starts with the Clark.
Of course, Julia Roberts and Clooney were in the same movie.
What was that supposed to mean?
They're in, like, everything together.
Like what?
Well, there's all the, those movies where they're around the casino.
Oceans?
Yeah, the Oceans movies.
Yeah.
And then, I know, that's Richard Gere in Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
What other movies? They're in, The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's other ones, I'm sure.
This is his, debut, his directorial debut. And I guess he did a pretty decent job directing. He tried some different things. Here we get a lot of Sam Rockwell butt.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot. Like way more than we need. I mean, yeah.
Way more.
Kicks you off with Sam Rockwell
more,
butt right here.
Way more than that cleaning lady ever needed to see, too.
Well, she got the bonus, yeah. But
she got the front end.
So this is supposed to be the story of Chuck Barrett. His story. And
told from
told
his,
by him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it might be a little off compared to the facts. We're going to talk about that. Danielle, have you ever seen this movie before?
I did not. I thought it was actually when he told us the name of the movie. I thought it was something way different.
The Principal?
Yeah, like The Principal, Dangerous Minds, you know, those, how they all, kind of the teacher that goes to the
ghetto and saves them all.
Well, it's Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, so.
Right. So I thought that was what it was, and then when I watched it, I'm like, I've never seen this shit before. So I watched it. Yeah. We'll save that for the end.
Yeah. I got this movie confused with another movie that came out about the same time that was very similar called Autofocus with Greg Kinnear.
Okay.
He plays the guy from Hogan's Heroes. And him and Willem Dafoe like start this whole like weird porn thing where they're filming themselves banging chicks and they're, you know, doing their thing.
Doing their that sounds like a good movie.
It was alright. But I got these two came out the same year.
Oh, okay.
They came out that same year. And
completely different, obviously.
I think it was Greg Kinnear played the guy from Holy Heroes, Bob Crane.
Oh, okay.
He played him in his lead role. But yeah, Autofocus. So I got that confused with this. And I saw that one, and I was like, oh, that was crazy. And this one, no, I never saw before until just this week. But, so I'm looking forward to talking about it. It's an interesting choice that you picked some movie that we never really heard of.
But yeah.
I can't say I really didn't remember it.
I figured I was way late on the ball on this movie.
No, not at all. Obviously, we watch what we are into. And
yeah.
I've never been into it. Not that I wasn't into it, but I guess it wasn't something that popped up on my
phone. It's not something that if you're scrolling around, you'll grab.
Yeah.
You know, go watch something else over this.
I would have been like, oh, Chuck Barris. Oh, God, dang it. Oh,
but what
I
you hear
don't
about,
know a lot about him.
Yeah, what you hear about who did the Dating Game and the Gong Show, things like that.
I knew
it's
that.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like my
it started off with, for me, the first time I watched it, I was like, what the fuck is this? And we're still in that what the fuck is this moment when he's talking about trying to get the girl.
Oh, no, his strawberry cock.
Yeah, his strawberry flavored cock.
It tastes like strawberries.
Yeah, my sister says he loves strawberries.
Which, to me,
this reminds me
the whole movie was odd for what, because I knew who Chuck Barris was.
Yeah. But I think this is a great Michael Cera.
Michael Cera of Arrested Development.
And all kinds of shit.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Not really, but yeah.
Superbad.
He wasn't McLovin, but who was he?
He was in Superbad.
He was in the McLovin movie.
And it was like,
we got to
this part, and I actually looked at Jason, and I was like, oh, it's that one guy. And he goes, yes, or one thing. And I'm totally thinking like Superbad and this end of the world.
This is the end.
Oh yeah, he was great.
I knew who he was, but I couldn't say who he was. You know what I mean? It was just weird. I mean,
he played like a coked out fucking asshole version of himself.
Yeah.
This is the end.
Well,
yeah.
And there's a scene where he slaps Rihanna's ass.
He was in Juno, too. That's what it was.
Oh,
yeah. That was good.
Where he slaps Rihanna's ass in the one scene. And when they were filming it, he was like, so can I really slap your ass? And she's like, if I can really slap you in the face.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right.
Okay.
Boom. And he slapped her ass hard, too. Smack the fuck out of
off of there. The first half end was really good.
Yeah, it's the end
of
it, like.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get some of
it. And then the very, very end, I like.
In this movie, here, he's showing how basically once he's been touched by a woman, he really, that's all he's after anymore is pussy. And,
that's the driving force in his life.
Yeah.
No, I thought there was something on my TV here. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Oh, yeah.
He has everything kind of. How would you explain that?
It's
like, bled out?
I was going to say iridescent-y, but it's not.
Everything looks kind of neon. So weird, kind of like washy look over it.
Yeah.
But the whole thing basically starts with him trying to make out with chicks. I mean, that's
his whole goal is to. Yeah.
Get his dick
up. I wonder if it does taste like strawberries, though.
It doesn't.
Mine does.
You ever had his dick?
Trust me, it doesn't.
It might.
No, guys.
If the name of six of them grow, it's called the life.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's because, we'll get to there, but that's because all guys lie.
Yeah, but here he goes. He just applied to be an NBC page, much the same thing as Jack McBriar in 30 Rock.
This whole scene was filmed in one take, actually. It's interesting, whether in the NBC downstairs, like main lobby, it was filmed in one take. Where
30 Rockefeller?
Yeah. They have Chuck Barris come in on one side, was part of the scene, then he left the scene, ran around, changed his fucking clothes, or whatever he had changed, came back out as the later version of him when he had the job. So it all comes in one cut.
Well, they do that. They do stuff like that a couple times in this movie where it's like a one-shot move thing, kind of the whole thing that Birdman did.
Yeah. Clooney, like, build these sets right next to each other that had no, they weren't, like, shouldn't be next to each other,
Time.
And they turn them so they can go to one, the camera for set on one section. And this escape and spin with these different scenes, like, areas, I guess, And I wish I would have been able to hear between these directors' commentaries, but I missed out. I didn't have the DVD on Amazon here.
No.
I watched it here. But here he is getting banged.
That's all he wants.
Was that the only one who thought the girl that was on top of him and this girl right here are actually two different chicks?
They might have been.
Like, I looked at the faces and I'm like, they're two different girls completely. I was confused. Because he came home to this woman sitting here and I'm like, oh, wait, he's,
This whole movie is. It's hard to say, it's autobiography, but it's actually an authorized autobiography. It's, was the. Subtitle.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Chuck Barris was kind of fibbed a little bit on this.
Which makes you think that he fibbed about everything, then.
Yeah.
Well,
I believe he's on a Gong show. I believe that's right.
and maybe it's just unauthorized because the CIA didn't authorize him to say the parts that he says.
Well.
Okay, wait, Justin, you think that's true?
100%.
Here's the true story you're saying about CIA.
Down to the amount of hairs on that guy's head.
This is actually funny right here, where you see him.
It's almost a weird time thing.
Yeah.
And yet, then he goes back to him arguing with his girlfriend at the house. Why the fuck did you get pregnant? Yeah, it just goes back and forth. Like, that is pretty fucked up. I like how it works.
You mean what the fuck did I get pregnant for? You got me fucking pregnant, you fuck!
Fuck you!
Oh, fuck.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
He got married at the age of 28. To Lynn Levy. And they were married from 1957 to 1976. Mm-hmm. So 19 years they were married.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's no mention of her in this movie.
Nope, not at all.
And then he got married to Robin Olsen in 1980. And they were together until 1999. They were together for 19 years.
True, loved him.
He was married 19 years twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, 38 years.
Oh, no, then he got married in 2000 to marry Rudolph, and they're still married. So that's 16 years on top of that.
Oh, shit, well, he's three more to go.
So, for being with this guy who's sleeping around, and I guess we'll get the penny until it shows up, huh?
Yeah.
Because he's not in this at all, this is a real true picture.
Well, right now we're only in 1961, so.
Well, and here's the thing, like, when he meets somebody on set, when he does... It's kind of how he met, was it Lynn, what's her name?
Lynn Levy at First Light?
Yeah. Like, it was her uncle that owned NBC, was it her, or was the VP of NBC? What was it?
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like that's who it was, and that's what it was, but it's a little odd. Like, and right here was weird. I hung out at the carnival because that's where the young ones were. You fucking creeper.
Yeah.
You weird fucking creeper.
Look at them curl skirts on the fair field and shit.
Well, and everything, you know, I mean, when you read the whole thing about him, he was rejected by beautiful women. Looks like walking back Cotter. It's odd.
Hey, that was the hip look back then. Looking back, Cotter was a fucking star.
Yeah. We wouldn't be talking about him in 2016.
Actually, I have a second cousin who looks like that guy, and he's an awesome man, actually, and he has two really great daughters. In fact, you both know Julia, and her dad is the one who looks like him. We always joke about Mr. Cotter.
One thing we got to say is that... Charlie Barris, Chuck Barris, is still alive. He's fucking 87, still kicking. So this movie's been out for what, 16 years, and here this guy's still going.
Yeah.
So good for him, huh?
Why wouldn't he just prove or disprove? You know.
More butt. Oh, and look at the dick shot. Well, balls from behind.
Okay.
And then you see Drew.
Drew Barrymore. What do you think? Thumbs up or thumbs down, Drew?
Oh, thumbs up.
Yeah.
This is one of the movies that she looks good in.
That's what I was going to say. This
she
is like,
one of those actresses that she either looks really good or not good.
She looks really good in this movie, yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking when I watched this.
She's
like,
pretty. She's sweet. She's...
Is this 51st
really like
date she looks great in as well?
Oh, yeah.
That's another one.
Toy Story.
Yeah, E.T.
Yeah.
She was like 10.
Love me some Drew Barrymore and E.T.
Have you ever seen the movie with her where she plays a completely crazy bipolar chick? I can't think of the name of it now. With Robin. Who plays Robin?
Chris O'Donnell?
Yeah.
Yep, she's with him.
I think I have seen that, actually.
Yeah.
Don't recall.
I think she takes him to Mexico because everybody's looking at her, and then she cuts out a bunch of eyes out of magazines and puts them all around the room. That's when he realizes that she really is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, my cousin made me watch that. Or I saw some of it with my cousin sometime.
I like Drew Barrymore as an actress. Also, to the point where when I got my first tattoo was right after she was in Playboy, or right before she was in Playboy. And in Playboy,
used to have that one.
You could see the same tattoo. We have the exact same tattoo. I didn't know that. Like, I found one, I like, you pick it, we stick it, my tattoo. I was like, oh, I like this one, it's great. And I have the same tattoo as Drew Barrymore.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
How about the issue clear that was on my bedroom wall?
She's fucking hot. I mean, you've got to give it to her. She's,
oh, yeah.
She's gorgeous. She, for a woman who has that chin that everybody fucking, quote-unquote, hates, that Jay Leno chin, or actually her grandfather's chin is what I call it.
And she does not have the best face. But her body and her personality make up for it.
She's one of those girls.
She can look good sometimes. Lose her face. She can make some kind of the ugly look.
Yeah.
Every girl does. Where when they.
She is like, she's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it really is.
But her personality makes her like she's an animal lover. She's a comedian. Like she loves to laugh. And
can't hold a man.
No.
So what?
Not even Tom Green.
None of us do.
So this is his song they're playing here. Palisade Park. Remember the song, Justin?
Oh, The Days at the Sock House.
I remember the song. I mean, I don't remember it. I was hearing it when I was a kid. Yeah. I kind of knew it. Yeah. But I guess he wrote the song, which I did not know.
Yeah.
Who was it done by?
I forget. He said already.
That one band?
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're great, yeah.
Johnny Crimson and the Rockets.
Yeah, that's
who it is. It's by my in another band. It's still a name of
them. I like Johnny Crimson back when he was solo, though.
Yeah.
The Rockets stuff is still pretty good, but I'm sure it's much more mature.
Yeah, he definitely...
He grew a lot in that period.
He definitely fingers the guitar a little bit more.
He does some fingering.
Yeah. A lot in A minor.
Oh, boy. Hey, those cards are never proven, all right?
I have to say,
yeah, let's get off this.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't even listening to
this. You're good. No one should listen to that.
Listening to this part here, she's that typical girl where you can tell right here she wanted to change their relationship, but she didn't want to tell him that she wanted to change their relationship. Like, it's weird that from his perspective, he must not have been thinking about it like that. To put Penny in that position to be saying, look, just because we fucked doesn't mean I want you to, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just want to tell you about my day. Yeah, honey, okay. And she's like, all right, so listen. Like, it was weird. Like, most girls are like, you don't ever listen to me by the time I, said it, I liked you and wanted to be with you. It's weird.
Yeah, she's pretty cool chicken.
But the way...
You know, she doesn't exist.
Biography. I guess that's what's weird to me is that, like, he made it weird from a guy's standpoint on a girl. Like, a lot of girls are like that. Where, anyway.
That was a good shot, that the pan in from the...
Yeah, the Mary Tyler Moore shot.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, the kind of pans are right there outside of the building. They bought the dating game, just pitched the dating game idea to executives, and they bought it. So.
Well, they bought a pilot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For $7,500, and she says, let's go out and celebrate. He goes, I can't, I have a date. And she's like, oh, okay, cool, I'll talk to you later, bye. And they, like, air fish. Like this awkward, weird air kiss and thing. It's like weird.
They definitely have a weird relationship, which
yeah,
is part of his little fantasy world with the CIA agent.
Which we still don't know maybe yet. Spoiler.
Maybe it should be delusions of a dangerous mind.
Yeah. Well, and so many people have said they're not sure what to think of it, you know?
They're like, if some of it's possible. I'm like, yeah, because there are the actual interviews that are spliced into the movie, too, which those always kind of throw me off a little bit. I'm like, what?
Yeah. But
I don't think those are real. Like, I think they're real.
Scripted, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and either way, you can splice it to say what you want during any area. So they can say, he never said, and then he's saying it, you know.
All right, loser. ABC didn't like the dating game. They did like a show called Hootenanny.
Fucking Hootenanny.
Well, you remember that show?
No, I don't. You remember that show?
I used to watch it every Saturday.
Yeah? Yeah? On ABC.
On ABC.
And
WMBC.
I don't know.
No, I do not. I never watched Hootenanny. I was wondering if you did.
I remember Hee Haw.
Yeah, I remember Hee Haw.
That was quite the show. It was funny, I remember watching Hee Haw when I was out of my friend's house that lived out on a farm. It was perfect. Perfect. It was like on vacation day. Like, we'll play on the farm, watch Hee Haw. Alright. We played with Star Wars guys. I was like 7 or 8. I was a little kid.
And you skipped school?
No. We went there just for a day.
Oh.
Her, I don't know, parents or friends or some shit like that. And they just, hey, you guys just like, you know, sit around the barn for the daytime and goof around and we play Star Wars guys and then watch Hee Haw.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, one day I lived and I never saw the kid again.
That's weird. I remember one time my dad had to go to like a conference thing for his work.
Yeah.
And I had to go along with him and it was like an overnight stay. But like the conference was from like 4 in the afternoon or whatever, from 10 in the morning to like 4 in the afternoon or whatever, and then they had a break, and then they had to go back at like 7.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I was like 14 or 15 at the time, and I had to go hang out with this like 11-year-old kid who had like, I don't know, he had like some sort of cancer. And now that I'm telling this story, and then, yeah, and then I never saw him again. And now I didn't mean for it to go there, but it went there.
Oh.
That's my bad.
He probably did.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, here's the part. He was talking to his sister on the phone, and
the bald baby. What's up with Danny DeVito baby here?
A lot of babies have that.
Look at that.
Oh, it isn't strawberry dick bears.
Look at the kid's eyes, though. Well, part of the saturation or whatever the effects of the film.
Yeah.
The point he did that kind of represents the era that it was like taking place in. And he's like, his mindset was that I'm not going to do it the way it was then. I'm going to do it the way we see it now. So it's like he uses like a Technicolor for the 50s, but then it has like saturated, kind of worn out and stuff. And it
gets
better as we move along. But see, to him, it seemed pretty crystal clear, though. Don't figure out.
Yeah, I know, right? Have you seen me? I'm a Clooney.
This is our introduction to George Clooney, right? First scene of him.
Yeah, I think he actually pops up in the background in other things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He sold his scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's definitely in that pan-in shot.
This is the first, like, speaking
of him, though. Yeah, and he even tells me, he's like, I've been watching you for a while. This is the first time I'm letting you see me.
This is the first directorial film.
Yeah, that's what directorial debut means.
Yeah,
he said that twice in the introduction.
He came off Ocean's 11 and Old Brother were the recent films he did before that. He was at the top of the game, Perfect Storm, Old Brother, Ocean's 11, Spy Kids.
Spy Kids, what a classic.
And then he decided to direct this one. And he also directed Good Night and Good Luck later on, 2005. Seen that?
No.
Seen that?
No.
And then he did Leatherhead, 2008. Seen that?
Actually, yeah, I saw it on TV.
I saw the previews for it, but no.
Like, it was on, like, HBO or something, and it was just on in the background at, like, Thanksgiving 1 year or something.
Yeah. Ides of March in 2011.
That was supposedly really, really good.
Mindless Men, 2014.
Right here is where he's telling him that he wants him to basically become an agent for him, and that's when Chuck Barris puts it in himself that he's now going to be working for the CIA, even though it's never really said
that he works
for the CIA. He's like, no, you're going to be a freelance agent, basically, for me.
Yeah. So how do you know? How do you know if that guy's even?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, oh, so you want me to kill people for you? You're gonna have me trained by the CIA, and then I'm gonna
go through.
Okay. Like, it's so stupid.
Why me?
It's a good question.
Yeah. It's very odd.
It's a hard biography that.
Yeah.
So much so that it's not even like, it's so hard to believe.
Not many people believe it.
I don't know anyone that would, really. Trivia question on George Clooney just in time.
Let's go. You know I know my Clooney facts.
Do you? What was the name of his first regular series?
Oh, I know
it. In which he starred in 8 episodes of.
Oh, was that ER?
Yes, but what year?
Really?
Mm.
Was he in Fact of Life? Was he in Roseanne?
But wait.
So then he had, you said 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he was in 8 episodes of Roseanne.
He was in Fact of Life. He was in more than 8, I believe. But,
more than 8? Oh.
But...
Justin, you're right.
You're
okay.
Right, but
you're not right.
Show that you think.
No. ER didn't start until 1994. The show that he was famous for.
Oh, you're talking about General Hospital?
No.
No.
The show was called E/R.
Oh.
It came out in 1984.
I didn't know this.
And he was in 8 episodes, ran for half a season, and then got pulled. But yeah, he was a fucking doctor in a hospital in emergency room.
I thought it would have been Fact of Life.
The next year, he was on 17 episodes of Fact of Life. So that was 85, 87.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
It's the year after. Oh, the guy goes,
I'm going to teach you how to hit somebody with the side of your hand, and you're going to make them gag until they die. And then he does it to the volunteer. The volunteer hits the ground, and you hear him gagging, and he's like, shh. I'm going to need another volunteer. And I'm dying because I'm like, oh, God, that would be like, I'd join something and it'd be like that. And I'd be like, oh, I'm going to leave now.
Yeah. That's it for me, guys. You have fun.
Yeah, but thanks, guys. Thanks for thinking of me.
But yeah, Clooney did Fact of Life the year after his first ER experience, and then he was in episodes of The Golden Girls, and then one episode of Murder, She Wrote, Hunter.
He had the best mullet.
And then Roseanne came in 1988. He was in 11 episodes of that.
He had the best mullet ever, because he had the curly, weird fro with the mullet all in one.
His name of Roseanne was Booker Brooks.
You know whose mullet he had? Fritz's.
Nice.
He had Daly.
ER came in 1994.
I thought that part was
like, if you watch
weird,
that,
like,
he's a pretty good soldier.
Yeah, he's a good shot.
Yeah.
Of course, he wrote the fucking book.
He's a pretty good soldier.
Like, of course, he wrote the fucking book.
Everybody else sucks, but I'm awesome. But when you do watch it, I mean, you see it, and it's like, oh, so this is why the guy picked you. But he, I mean, nowhere in this leading up to, has he showed you that his dad taught him how to shoot a gun, or nobody, you know,
yeah.
Like, he didn't,
wow.
No, but he's fucking dead on everybody, and the guy next to him's fucking up his goddamn gun, he's locked up, he can't get the mag reset, and he's like, yeah, I did it, and then he spits. Like, that's the thing.
Like, I'm the shit.
And I got
to. Yeah, I was playing with chemicals in chemistry class.
I got
that's fine. But, Eric's book came out in 1984. Way before his movie. It was, like, 2000?
Yeah.
Wait. The book came out before the movie, but the movie came out in 2000?
The book came out in 1984, I think.
Oh.
The movie was, what, 2002?
Yeah.
Way after that. It was, it took a while to get made. It sat around for like 10 years. And it kept getting, you know, rejected by other companies. They didn't want to do it.
It sounds like his fucking life with the goddamn shows.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Can you see why? Like, it was like, nobody cares right now, dude. Nobody cares right now. Nobody. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know what? 2002, what other movies were out? Got it? I mean, come on, let's see what.
There was an excellent movie that came out that year, buddy.
What are the other movies? Yeah. Like, okay. And who made this movie? What
company?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't make a lot of money.
I'm going to guess obviously not, because
the budget was $30 million. It made $33
million. Hey, that's $3
million. Oh, yeah.
But it barely broke even.
But, yeah, and you think about it, though, it's like, okay, in the year 2002, what other movies were at the top of the chart? Like, what movies were...
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I believe.
Was that in 2002?
I believe. I'm thinking.
That when everybody went to...
I'm hoping someone's pulling up a list.
I'm on it. December, when did it come out? December 31st, 2002. That'd be the 2003.
And he wouldn't want to know them about
it. Hold on a minute.
Harry Potter.
The weekend it came out, it was...
No, it's not anywhere on here. I'm like, am I sure that I'm on the right stuff? Because...
Well, May 30.
I mean, fuck, even Sweet Home Alabama came out in 2002, and ain't nobody seen that shit.
That was a movie.
Mr. Dean.
Oh, I love that movie.
Ghost Ship.
I remember Ghost Ship.
Like, Scorpion King.
I remember Scorpion King.
Punch Drunk Love.
I remember that movie.
So, these are all these great movies that came Resident Evil, Men in Black 2, Mothman Prophecy, 40 Days and 40 Nights. Chicago. Really? Are we sure there's such as the right year? Scooby-Doo. Born Identity, The Ring, 28 Days Later. Ice Age. Fuck, Episode 2. Like, I never heard this, of this movie coming out.
Yeah, it was kind of a shitty year for it to come out, apparently.
Yeah.
All these other high-budget, high-dollar movies.
Catch Me If You Can. I mean, Spider-Man.
Yeah, 2 hours.
About Schmidt. Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't really have a chance. Like,
well, 2 was a good year.
Lord of the Rings!
Yeah, this wouldn't pop up on any of the lists.
Weird stuff. We made $30 million.
From probably every other movie that came out made $90 million
right.
Plus.
No, definitely not.
Release date was actually January
24,
2003.
Oh.
So that would be why we're looking up the wrong year. Hold on.
January 24th?
Yeah.
There it is, number 8. Wait, that's the 4th. Well, okay, number 8. $5 million.
But you got Finding Nemo, Pirates of the Caribbean, Kill Bill Volume 1, Matrix Reloaded, Bad Santa. These are things I watch.
Not Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
Nope. X2, Freddy vs. Jason, even. Holy shit.
Hey, that was a great movie. Is that you? Oh, he's back with Hank.
Yeah.
And he's got a gun up there.
Well, yeah, he was puking and he had his gun with him.
Was that the first kill? Or?
Yeah.
So, what happened to him?
He killed the guy.
Great.
Yeah. And then he came back and started puking in his apartment.
Oh, did he puke on the brain?
A little bit.
Yeah. That's a great lie.
No, I don't think he just was sick from killing another human being.
Does that make you sick?
Some people would have.
You make you sick though?
I've never tried it.
You never tried puking?
Yeah. I don't know if puking makes me sick.
Okay. So you've never thrown out after you killed somebody?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Me neither, actually.
We're trying to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, it's good to have life goals. What about you, Danielle? Have you ever puked after killing somebody?
No, it doesn't faze me at all.
Oh, okay. So here he is hiding his gun behind the radiator.
Honest move ever.
Yeah.
That's not a safe place, is it?
No. Yeah. Well, a small child could find that. It could get hot and explode the bullets.
Yeah, it's hot. So I love that he walks past this picture and then comes back.
What'd you do to my wall?
Daddy, what'd you do to my wall?
Go for it.
So weird that I totally could see Jason coming home and doing something like that, like looking at the wall going, honey, what'd you do to my wall?
What happened here? Yeah, now he's getting the call back from one of the network execs.
Well, it's Goldberg that called.
Yeah, because she drew a Goldberg
on the wall.
Fucking stupid hippie fucking chick.
Hey, at least he can get his message.
Fucking hippie chick.
True.
Hey.
Isn't that your baby? They're getting the dinging going on.
Yeah, they're buying more episodes.
Well, they're finally buying it. Yeah. They dismissed it.
So, is it because of Chuck Barrett you have The Bachelor and American Idol and all these good shows? What's going to happen?
You know, I think that's what he's trying to get at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
because
the whole point.
That we have shitty TV.
Yeah. So I'm trying to prove to you guys.
You?
Yeah. Fuck up with my selection of this movie.
Do you guys remember watching The Dating Game, though? Like, even reruns or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've seen it, but it wasn't... It's not anything I watched.
When people of mine and Jason's age would come home from school sick, this is the type of shit that was on.
Well, like, it was on when I was too, but we still had, like, Tom and Jerry and shit on it. I had Cartoon Network by
then.
Sometimes in the afternoon, like, between, like, 10 and 2, without many cartoons on, shit like this was on.
Yeah.
Gilligan's Island.
The what's that one where they dressed up?
Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shit like that was, you know.
Perfect Wild.
You
everyone still watches Price is Right when they skip school.
Right.
Yeah, it's still going. It's
yeah.
Those are new. Like, even when we skipped school, this is what we got to watch, was reruns.
Yeah.
They rebooted a lot. It was because I'm coming back.
Yeah.
So there would be new ones. They ran.
But I remember this type of comments, like you know,
they're stupid, lewd.
I play the trombone. If I was to play you, blow you, how would you sound? And these comments, like, it was funny. We watched this shit.
Yeah.
Well, some of this was in nearby, like when he said Buzz Dick. I'm sure that was just on the pilot.
Yeah.
But it ran from.
Well, they talk about that. They're like, we can't air this.
Yeah.
We can't. You know, they can't be saying this shit on the air.
And what year was it that the TV show came
out? Debuted in 1955.
I wasn't born until 1977.
Well, it ran from 55 till 74. Then it took a few years off around 78 to 80. Then from came back in 1986 to 1989.
And it was probably 86 to 89.
And then it came back again in 1996 to 2000.
Because I don't remember that shit.
It's got 4 runs it's been doing. And it's probably due to come back again.
Yeah, probably.
This was kind of funny to me.
Oh, the standards and practices.
Yeah, if you've ever seen Mean Girls, where the teacher's like, if you have sex, you'll die.
You'll get pregnant and you'll die.
Some famous people appeared at the Dating Game before they became famous. Sarah Fawcett, Suzanne Somers, Leif Garrett, Tom Selleck, and Lee Majors.
Leif Garrett? Wasn't he always famous? Like, since he was like 10?
Well, he went on the Dating Game when he was 9.
Oh,
yeah.
That was weird.
He wasn't that child, yeah. He was started until like 1970. So he's probably in the 50s, Joe.
Hmm.
He was first working in 1959.
Oh, no. And how old was he then?
61, he was born into 8.
So he couldn't have been in anything earlier.
No, he's on the Dating Game probably in, you know, when he was 7.
Jesus. Anyone?
7, 6.5, somewhere in there.
That's a good question. I don't know. I was reading this shit.
I love this part where he's like, if you make any comment, you'll be arrested.
Immediately.
And it's a long drive.
Of the Broadcasting Act of 1963.
He's scared of born 1961.
And it's a long drive to that prison.
Yeah.
Just you and me.
No witness.
He's going to take him out back and murder him.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, have fun.
Yeah, this is definitely wrong. This Leif Garrett being on Dating Game.
Maybe he was after he was famous.
Well, even so, it says
they're calling it a celebrity dating game.
But old kid? It was 1961 he was born. The show debuted in 1955. The quote says, before becoming famous, Leif Garrett appeared as a contestant on the show in the early 1950s and early 1970s. Well, his name is listed with a bunch of other people. Like, Sarah Fawcett, Suzanne Somers, blah, blah, blah. Leif Garrett appeared as a contestant on the show in the 60s and early 70s.
Well, look up.
If he was in the early 70s, maybe Jerry had a weird, like, 10-year-old dick. I don't know. And who is this broad? They never say her name.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the secretary or something
like that? Yeah, Loretta is apparently her name. They just gave it away with the captions here.
Oh,
What do you think of Sam Rockwell?
Yeah,
great.
I like him.
Yeah, you know, I really liked him in was Galaxy Quest.
Oh, he was the best.
Yeah. Awesome. So he's been like a he's in the movie Choke. Remember that? That was by Fight Club.
Chuck Palahniuk or whatever.
Yeah, he was in. He's a star of that one. Ben. Cowboys and Aliens, Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah, he was in Iron Man 2.
I guess we'll get there. He was in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as the head thug.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, he is.
In 1990. So.
Yeah, that's the guy they gotta go through. Yeah.
Been a few things. I think he's alright. He should probably more stuff. I don't know what he's been in lately.
Yeah, you would think he'd be in more stuff. But then he does movies like this, and then you're like, whoa, well, why would he be in anything?
Well, he's
probably made all his money off this movie.
He has two credits to his name. He's not getting any good lines. The good part of the problem right now. He's in Dishonored 2. Oh, it's a video game. He's a video game voice for Dishonored 2.
Oh.
And he's on an episode of Inside Amy Schumer.
Ah. Uh-huh.
What do you think about Inside Amy Schumer, Justin?
I mean, I'd like to be there.
Yeah, good catch.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, he was in an episode of that. He's in that show, Ethics for Family, on Netflix.
Oh, the one with Bill Burr?
Yeah, he played the character named Vic. Yeah, not a lot for Sam Rockwell as of recent.
Hmm.
Too bad.
Okay, wait. I have a question.
Oh.
Leif Garrett was born what year?
I got 1961.
And he was on Celebrity Contestant Dating Game in 1970.
Oh.
So he lived here.
Wow. All right. You're right. Good find.
Yeah. And that was,
I knew about Bell on nothing long enough she figured out.
It was a Halloween special, which is
weird. You mm-hmm. would do a couple of
no, it doesn't.
Oh, that's too bad. Maybe the Brady.
No. Well, he was a celebrity, and he was taking out some poor schlub.
Oh, okay. You win a date with her?
Yeah. What's my favorite color? Purple! My red tiger beak!
Well, I should tell you, he wasn't that famous, though. So it wasn't like...
We were 10. Yeah,
he wasn't that famous then. Like,
but at 10 years old, what are you doing?
But it's celebrity, you said, huh?
Celebrity dating game, yeah.
So he was...
It was the dating game Celebrity Edition, yeah. So every once in a while they would have a B-list celebrity that would be, here, let's use you.
Well, they did that with Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and all that shit all the time.
Oh my God, my favorite is, what's the name of it?
Saturday Night Live?
No, we asked 100 people
in
the survey.
Family
Feud. Yeah. I love when they do, like, they used to do wrestlers, which is female against male, and then they would do, like 30 Rock versus...
Battle of the Network
Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah,
that was a good show.
They would do weird ones like that.
Yeah, that was a kid, but it was like...
Well, anyways, so they just explained how...
Brad Pitt.
Yep.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And then some weird dude that nobody's heard of.
Who's got the right word.
Yeah.
Well, they just explained that Sam Rockwell is going to be escorting the couple on their, their date or whatever in other countries so he can make the hit for George Clooney.
Yeah,
I'm curious. So did these games actually get out trips to West Berlin?
They did.
I don't know about West Berlin.
Yeah.
In the 60s. But,
these in Helsinki in the middle of winter, that kind of thing.
Helsinki?
But they give out...
I knew they gave out trips, but...
Yeah. And look at
I thought they were mostly domestic.
So later on, when you realize what's going on later on, and then you see her all walking away all pissed off, and then some guy going, wait a minute, I'll be right there, you're not doing your job.
He's like, you gotta make me hang out with her. You're going to make her hang out with me.
It's going to be gay.
Yeah,
that's cool. ridiculous. He does a good job annoying
they
yeah.
You know, they sort of walk this thing like,
and then here's
the first unknown comic.
He performs with a bag over his head. He was a regular on the Gong Show.
Yeah.
So I watched the commentary thing about Chuck Barris today, and I couldn't help but giggle to myself, because the only Gong Show I remember seeing was of the twins eating a popsicle.
Oh, the girls.
And they actually talked about that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, right? So I wasn't hallucinating. This was actually a scene that I saw.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that and my mom going, oh my God, turn your head. And I'm like, what? That's all I know. I remember what you're talking about. And I watched it sitting there with my mom. And my mom's like, oh, we're never fucking watching this again. And I don't know if it was reruns or if it was at the time, because I didn't know. You know,
yeah.
I was young, and I think we were watching like a 13-inch black and white TV. I don't fucking know.
It was a repeat, probably. It was aired September 1977.
Oh, which, I was born that year.
Yeah, so
I doubt you remember that.
Right. Well, no, I remember
seeing it. No, the lies.
It.
I'm saying
yeah.
The lies.
And my mom was so mad about it, and I didn't understand at the time, because I was probably like maybe five to eight when I watched it, because that's what I remember being in those age groups. And yeah, never fucking remember. I was like, holy shit, we're not watching this shit. And I thought it was funny. Like, the girls got popsicles, I want one. No idea what the fucking big deal was.
Now here we run into Julia Roberts.
With the white boots.
Julia Roberts and Drew Barrymore took like a big pay cut being in the movie.
Yep. He said every A-list actress wanted to be in this movie.
Carl Sweeney said that, yeah.
Yeah. That's something.
I think we got one to do for free, then, you know.
That would certainly would have saved some money in the $30 million budget.
Well, they didn't save a lot. They got,
Evidently not.
They probably thought it would be one of those movies that sold real big when it went to DVD or whatever. You know what I mean?
They could relapse on that.
Yeah.
No.
They just sit back and get residual checks from it.
Yeah. Which movie was in production for a long time. It was sold sold film rights to Columbia Pictures in the late 1980s. And then went through the lead role. Originally there was going to be Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, wow.
With Close Encounters. And it was abandoned in 1989. And then someone else picked up at Columbia, and they were looking at doing it again. They got Charlie Kaufman involved. He wrote a new screenplay. And then George Clooney started getting involved, and he was thinking of Sean Penn first to play the lead role. And he kept moving on, and other directors started like coming in. I guess George Clooney was attached to co-star, so he wasn't involved in directing yet. He was going to be a star in the movie. He wanted some involvement in it.
How much is?
So, because then it went to different directors. Dan Mendes, David Fincher, and Darren Aronofsky were all interested in directing it.
So, the medical person in me says, by the way, this is wrong. You can't just shove this up your ass and be okay. Your sphincter muscles, when they contract, they actually pull in. So, it's going to go up. And there's no stopping. Like, in your vagina, you have a stop. It can't go any further. But in your butt, there is no stop. So when he shoves this microfilm up his ass, that can go all the way up.
Well, how do they do it then?
People smoke shit in their ass all the time.
Yeah.
And 90% of them get caught because it explodes. Because it goes up their ass and goes further.
So what, do you tie a little knot at the end with a stick through it? So it goes
in? Not even a stick. You have to put like a fucking prong so that it stays and it can't be sucked
in. That's what he's saying. Just.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to. Yes. A T. Yes. That's how it has to happen, guys. You can't do that. If you put something in your butt, it goes up. I'm saying the medical in me says.
I believe you.
I'm not arguing.
So just an FYI, don't stick shit up your ass.
Didn't play him out. Okay.
Ben Stiller almost played the title role.
Oh, wow. That would have been a much different movie.
Watch this part right here. Sorry, I like this part.
Brian.
Look, she knocked the fucking sperm right off his wine glass.
He's
licking his face and shit.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. He, like, they throw all the glasses apart on the floor. He jumps over the table and lunges at her and they start making out. Totally. Mm-hmm. Not real.
Use the microphone in. No, because then when you come and your muscles contract, it's going further up. It goes up, guys. It goes up.
Wait, I got it.
You know what my
Brian Singer was almost going to be director of. You know that?
No.
But he decided to do X2, he actually came up. Sorry.
It would have been a much different movie again.
He's so over me telling you that you can't stick shit up your ass.
Yeah, I'd like it in topic.
I'm trying, man, I'm trying. I'm trying. Both of X2.
That X2 was a good movie, I remember that one. That was there was some chick with Antonio Banderas and what's her name? What's that Asian chick?
She's
Paula Hyatt?
No, the Asian chick.
She's a minority or something.
She always does. She always does like the action girl. She's like the female Jet Li.
I know who you're talking about, but no, I don't know her name.
Yeah, her and Antonio Banderas were in a movie that year.
Chun-Li?
No, not this one. Street Fighter, you fucking moron. God damn. Yeah.
In what year?
It's the same year as X2, or right around the same time.
Oh, we missed the DVD. It was over 20 minutes of the game.
Oh, good.
A short documentary. It's kind of the real stuff there. That'd be interesting.
This is funny when she's, what did she say? She, it was like he fucked up the hit, or, you know, she said something that Jason didn't even think about being a hit man.
Yeah.
Like, what?
She's like, oh, well, if it isn't the hit man,
you're going to be a big hit. Yeah, from it, yeah. The hit man, yeah. But then they sell this one, this classic urban legend that used to be for a long time, but I guess it's proven right where they ask, it's a scene from the dating game, or a newlywed game.
Newlywed, yeah.
And they're asking the wife, what's the strangest place you've ever made Whoopi?
And, or wanted to make Whoopi.
And she said, in the ass. And he's like, no, location.
It's like the how you spell relief, F-A-R-T.
No, this actually, I guess they said.
It was a real show.
And this is actually the real live clip from it. That was not reenacted. Little Juan Garcia Esquivel music for us. Big Esquivel fan there, Esquivel.
Oh, you know me. Got all the albums.
I can't help it. I watched this part, and when he's with that girl, Penny, it's like he doesn't care as long as everybody loves him, and she thinks
Penny's not real.
She thinks the highest thing ever of him, and it's great. But he wants nothing to do with her except to stroke his ego, like most guys.
She's pulling it up.
Okay.
I'm just saying, that's my opinion.
No, I get it that she is, but...
Well, how do you know this character isn't based on his wife?
That's
he didn't just change the name.
Where's his daughter? You already had a daughter. Where's the daughter in the movie?
Well, he kind of wasn't a great fucking dad, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were saying, I heard on another interview that when she was 16, she was hooked on cocaine. So, are you listening to this?
I'm listening.
His daughter was hooked on cocaine, and she came to her and dad got into a fight. So, she said she wanted to leave. So, he said, fine, get out, and gave her $1 million, you know,
her trust fund. Here's your fucking trust fund.
Here's your $1 million, go. You told her a 16-year-old that's fucking high on cocaine.
So how long did she live?
Like till 38, I think.
Oh, shit.
She came back, with AIDS, you know. They still did the coke, I figure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, she blew all that money right away.
Oh, yeah.
She's a prostitute and stuff like that. And But who does that to their kids? Okay. We have a drug problem? Get the fuck out, and here's a shitload of money.
Yeah, it's get the fuck out.
Good luck finding your fucking drug money, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, at least that, and that's pretty harsh. But, when you give them $1 million, that's just like, here, go kill yourself, have fun.
Yeah.
Well, and people who were friends with him actually said that, you know, he pretty much said that his kid was a burden to him. Like, you know, having a wife and a kid was just, it cramped his style. It wasn't what he wanted. And like, well, no shit.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious when you see the movie and how he sees himself.
Yeah.
Or his superhero version of himself.
Yeah. He sees himself as is better than everybody else, yet you, but it's weird because when you watch this, anybody else can look at him and be like, that man has issues. Like, why are you pressuring me to fucking marry you? I'm fucking leaving. Okay.
I was drowning.
He was already married. He already had a kid by this time, at this point in his real life.
And he just feels smothered or whatever he says.
Yeah. And so, kind of makes you think he might have been bipolar. Like, think about it. He makes up this whole other end of his life to make himself feel better about his life. Like, he was a shitty dad. He was a crappy fucking husband. So, well, I was in the CIA, so that makes up for it, guys. Guys, that makes up for it, right, guys?
That's what I was actually doing when you guys said I was just out being a dick.
Yeah, he's out banging another chick.
Yeah.
Meeting some chick named Penny somewhere, and it's like, oh, no.
Penny's probably the broad that got away.
Yeah.
Great white Kokomo.
Oh, yeah. I think it's great to keep calling him Strawberry Dick.
Yeah.
And there's another assignment.
West Berlin, Germany. They're happy and
I don't
wait, what?
We won a trip. Oh, wait, to West Berlin? Oh, shit. You all can keep that trip.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing a trip like that.
He's all happy.
Smelling the fresh air.
Hot.
Wasn't that a picture of him, though?
It looked like a picture of him.
Yeah. But it's him sitting across from her.
Yeah. And I so thought she'd give him a hit on himself.
Right. And take charge.
I'd kill for Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Her face is, like, mostly teeth.
She got that vein.
Yeah.
The forehead vein. Which I can't stop it. That's the case.
When he pops out into the bathroom.
Yeah, what's up with this?
He's tunneling over to East Berlin.
So he's going through the wall? Okay. It's kind of like that phone.
Yeah, they don't exactly just let you walk back and forth.
Yeah, I guess not.
Well, now they do. Back then they didn't.
We need some beer?
Okay. I will prove. No way, I got one here. I'm good.
I need some guitar towers and shit. Smooth and collected.
Did you find if they ever
went to West
Berlin?
You know what I was looking at? That's what I'm looking at now. I found a little talk about from Jim Lang. He was one of the hosts of the Dating Game and the new Newlywed Game. He comments about who was the real Barrett. He says, Chuck was a crazy genius with strong ego and desire to perform. He walked across our set Hitchcock style while we were saying goodbye. He's also a TV pioneer, willing to try things others wouldn't. Blah, 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 blah. We were the first reality show paving the way for Howard Stern, Jerry Springer, Big Brother. Fucking dick. No big deal, innuendo, romance, no square words, no off color. Yeah. Don't say anything about Berlin, though.
Hmm.
so funny because it's popped up on the Googler. Most famous of all, Gong Show Act was the Popsicle Twins. There we go.
Yes, the Popsicle Twins. See, I remember seeing it.
What color were the popsicles?
Red. No. Well, then their shorts were red. They were the weird ones. Like, you remember the old school with the white piping?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them, it was funny because there were a couple Popsicle Twins, but they say that one of them was definitely underage. The other one might have been 17. So I'm not sure how to take that.
You can search Google.
That's all they did was popsicle.
And I see girls there. One's cute.
That's a hell of an act.
That's all he did.
Is that Phil Diller like over there? Give him a zero. Give him a zero. There's Chuck Barris, doing the host. Jamie Farr gives him a two. For sucking popsicles. I have a cash in general, just I am. Who's that? Is that Linda Ronstadt?
I have no idea.
I don't know. What'd she get my mistake? Oh, she's a 10.
A 10?
Whoa! Yeah, I Google Gong Show Popsicle Twins. Can you see this?
And he gets back from doing the hit, and he can't go into the place where he was crossing over the border because it's getting raided. And then he goes back, and the guy that was his contact is gone already. So now he's stuck in East Berlin.
Runs down an alley, and oops, the door is locked. Turns around, all of a sudden, he's fucking cornered. It was so weird.
It's like they knew.
They get caught and all this stuff that was spy stuff kind of seems kind of weird for me.
Yeah.
He would disappear for a week or so at a time, and the secretary just said he's out of town. We didn't know where he went, so.
He disappeared. I honestly think he was like bipolar. And when he'd go on manic phases, they would just make up excuses for him.
Yeah,
just
ship him off to a hotel somewhere.
Yeah, and ship him off. They may not know where the fuck he really went. Like, and then he'd come back, and he'd be like, hey, guys. And they'd be like, okay, let's fix this. Let's do that here. Do some blow. Okay, let's go fucking get your career back.
Now, do you think there's any chance that he was out there killing people thinking this is what he did?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he's bipolar or schizophrenic and bipolar, this could be, like, up in his head.
Yeah.
Watch, when he dies and they fucking cut open his brain to do an autopsy, they're going to find that he's riddled with fucking, like
five different brain disorders.
And that would be why he's fucking nuts.
I think he's a dick. I think he's a self-centered fucking asshole. But I don't think he's nuts. I think he wrote this book like this totally intentionally. Like, this is my, like, superhero moment. This is how badass I am. You know, he kind of made this whole thing up for himself.
In years to come, this is how people will remember
right me. Right here. When he sees his face.
And he knows he was set up.
He looked at the woman and was like, I know her. And then he sees him and was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, the contestants on the dating show were both Russian spies, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know what was
worse. So they're on him, then. It's bad to
me. I was duped by that fucking master. I bet it took seven of us to replace him. Seven of us.
Yeah. And they traded seven of them for him.
Who the fuck you been? Jordan's hair doesn't look like it anymore. He has some good hair early in the film.
Yeah. Well, he kind of changes his appearance, like, every time he comes in for...
It's supposed to be, like, years.
Yeah.
Well, then right now, he's kind of freaking out. Because they jam the music up so they can hide what they're talking about. They're coming after you, pretty much. They think they're the mole. They think you might be the mole, so watch your fucking ass. And, a little spy story we got here.
Yeah.
It's really the thing with the mole. It doesn't take long to figure it out.
And this is where he comes up with the idea for the Gong Show.
Very good.
Yeah, I wonder though, what show was he supposed to be auditioning for?
It was some sort of American Bandstand sort of deal. Where they take the best
acts. He had so many different kinds of game shows. He like threw everything at the wall and saw the stuff. So it was must have been some kind of like music variety show or something. Cause
almost like American Idol, and then he was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Find the worst dude.
Because he's done at least a dozen shows he's done. All kinds of stuff. He did the Dawn 98 Beauty Show, Camouflage, Comedy Courtroom, Game Game, Dollar a Second. Family Game, the Game Game. How was your mother-in-law?
What the Game Game one?
I don't remember that either, but I guess I find out last month. So it's 59, 1970. Mm. So 50 episodes, swam like. So.
I like seeing the things that like he thought he would be doing at some point.
1959, first round appeared. In episode of the Game Game. How about those bananas? Yeah, I'm not sure which code this was. Yeah, the new treasure hunt show, your hit parade.
And this is when it came up with the Gong Show. We kill them before they're as soon as they get
unbearable, we kill them dead. It might have been the Your Hit Parade show. That was a music program. And it ran like a year or two before this.
So he was probably auditioning for that show. And
yeah.
He was like, holy shit.
Yeah, that would be my guess based on the dates and what it looks like here. But now he's actually trying to host the show. He's always been behind the scenes until the Gong Show. He was just a producer and kind of just, you know, was the man that set it up. But now they want him actually on the screen, so it's fun to be somewhat charismatic and somewhat charming to be able to pull it off, right?
Yeah.
If you've ever seen him in real life on these shows, if he's not a bad dude,
well, you put yourself in that time. Another show clip from the Aquagon show where a guy's singing a raindrop falling on my head song. He's got weakless eyeliner on. And the judges are not feeling it. And what's the format? Those three judges pick when the gong gets hit, I assume? I don't really remember the gong show that
long. I thought it was the crowd that decided when the gong
hit. I think it was both. Like,
yeah.
They would be kind of
the
like,
judges
kind
of,
guys,
everyone would be like, all right.
Yeah.
The judges kind of ran the show according to the masses, I guess, right? Yeah, we got three hosts there. All the gongs with mallets in their hands, ready to bang the gong. And they queued it right up now, so. Chuck Barris was more of an unconventional game show host. He had like weird dances that he moved, and it was like, yeah, you kind of saw there his mannerisms is on there. He's,
yeah, he doesn't really have, he doesn't have quite the right timing or.
Yeah, he's kind of like off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the midget.
Gotta love the midget.
They're at a cocktail party and there's a midget walking around.
I think she's more from Team Midget too.
She's not.
Pretty sure.
She's not.
Her hair's just dyed dark.
She's not.
I think so.
She's not.
I'm not talking about the white girl, I'll talk about the other one.
So how's that $1 Smith and Ford treating you? Good.
By the way, did you ever look for a break?
I didn't.
No, we didn't look for a break. Should we take a break?
Ooh.
I mean, where are we at?
Well, he's following
the chicken,
the Playboy Mansion
to the Grotto.
I would say we're right back, but we'll be right back in a second for you.
Yeah.
There you go.
So the chick in the grotto has seen the gong show and knows who he is. That's just fucking perfect.
Random, like, hot chick in this weird little cave part of the pool kind of
and
area.
And tells him that he's disgusting. Really.
I'm guessing this was a part of the book.
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, well, I guess Charlie Kaufman took some liberties with the script. I know at least like the part about his mother dressing him up as a girl later
on.
That's not real, I guess. That wasn't in the book. And there's something else too, but do you want another shot of this Capricola?
That Capricola.
That's
a ham.
You're an awful bagel.
Mistentine?
Turpentine.
Yeah, mistentine. It might be. Okay.
I like it. Good bird.
Just in time, man.
I heard, I thought of you, I thought of part.
I think of me every time I hear that. And I thought of
him. No, just in time.
I thought of just in time.
Not always, but it's
not just in time.
But here we have Chuck Barris doing his dance thing. His hair is looking good there. He's got the Chuck Barris going too.
Tight little Jufro going.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what's that one?
The tight little Jufro.
Jufro, wow.
I think I have that myself.
No, you don't have tight enough curls.
They are if I don't put weight in them.
Oh.
That's why I put all kinds of things to weigh my hair down. Yeah.
They're both doing a good job right now.
Thanks.
They're not even touching her.
She looks great.
Well, I'm not arguing with that. Hello. They're rogue.
We got Rucker Howard here. He's great. You big Rucker Howard fan?
Not really.
Blade Runner. Danielle? Yeah, I've talked to you over here. The food is like really sticky.
Yeah.
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 Especially when you spill half of it down the shot glass.
I just go a little drop and just spread like a little fucking wildfire and like a cigarette fight you throw like, out your window.
Like mercury. I know, that's why it's funny.
You guys start playing on fire last week?
Well,
maybe.
A little bit.
You don't know. You were sleeping.
Yeah. We didn't wake you up.
True. I can help you the boobs.
Yeah, that was it. That was the best part.
Oh, yeah.
You came out, you're just like, oh, boobs.
What happened was, is I...
what happened was?
He got his phone call from work.
Oh, yeah. I was laying in bed. I heard you guys out here talking. I'm laying there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go out there and check it out. And I came walking on out here and came sat down.
He thought he was walking. He was really shuffling.
Yeah, there was no walk.
And they're talking. I look up, and there's, you know, the shower scene.
You sat down, didn't say a word.
Nice.
You put your headphones on, you looked at us like, hey. And then you watched the
You're screen. Like, I'm back.
And then you took your headphones off, and you burped a little bit like, nah, this ain't gonna be good.
Yeah.
And then you shuffled on back.
I went back to bed.
No, you yelled boobs like four times in there somewhere. You went, boobs!
Yeah, I don't think I said that.
Boobs!
Yeah.
You probably said,
I can barely speak.
And then you went, just in time, you look at the boobs. Pretty sure you said
it all.
Pretty sure you said that.
You were speaking cursive and shit.
Well, I was listening to that episode today. I was pretty drunk.
Yeah.
At the beginning of that, yeah.
Yeah, imagine so, 10 minutes later when you left it.
Oh.
So, who's this guy that he's meeting with?
Rucker Howard.
The Howard of Rucker.
So he's like, of course, I'm going to...
Not related to Tag Howard.
...place and blah, blah, blah. Which I thought was funny. He says he's going to meet him in a public place so that, you know, he doesn't have to worry about being killed, basically. And if you look... Excuse me. If you look, they're actually surrounded by mirrors. Like, you don't see that they're in a big public place because on either side you see either him or him. Like,
that's an interesting little shot.
So I don't know what that means or if it means anything, but it's weird.
Well, George Clooney, he really tried to do different shit with his film. Like, he threw like everything into the pot for his first film. All kinds of different camera angles he tries, different, you know, he does the saturation color we talked about earlier.
Right.
Like, all kinds of different stuff he tries, like weird different angles, he does different things with the set. He gets some credit for at least trying. He's throwing everything and seeing what's sticking to the wall, I guess. And good for him. I haven't really seen any of his other movies.
I mean, I've never directed, so I don't even know what that's like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's hard.
I bet.
But it's kind of cool to see, like, to be able to watch something like this. And I mean, it's a long movie, so I'm tired. But you know, to see that he did try, and to hear when you listen to the commentary stuff, you know, you're like, that's cool. Okay, so he's doing this way so that you get the picture of strong and open, and you know. Right here, there's
that right?
Some prostitutes sending to me.
Or a better way to spend your birthday.
We're doing a biopic for our top five on the next episode.
Yeah.
Following the movie here. So this is not a very accurate biopic.
No, which is why I kind of left that reference open, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. Just wait.
He's dying to kill himself.
But there is a list of the least accurate biopics ever made.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I thought this would be on it for sure. But more just crazy, it says mine kind of thing, they're trying to say. I don't know. But here, it's like, you know, they think about, they focus on accuracy or making entertainment movie. You know, it's actually changed for the benefit of the story. Number one is Amadeus from 1984.
Hmm.
You ever see that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I watched it in school.
Yeah.
While the movie depicts Salieri as a bitterly jealous rival of Mozart, the two are actually friendly with each other. They work together and even attend social functions together.
That doesn't mean that they like each other.
Yeah.
We've attended functions together. We don't like each other.
I'm very civil with my enemies.
Salieri did not believe in the movie depicting that he caused the death of Mozart. And he never officially confessed to it.
Here's where Penny meets
the spy chick.
Julie Roberts with the different colored bob haircut
every time. Any movie, she's got a bob haircut. But
not Aaron Brockovich.
This would be uncomfortable if you're like, okay, this is sick. Well, but he is a banger, but if he wasn't a banger, he's innocent, I'd be like, oh. And then there's number two, is A Beautiful Mind. You ever seen that one?
Well, yeah, I've seen that.
That's the real John Nash didn't hallucinate entire people in existence. His methodology was altered to make it more interesting for the story. The changed speech is not here, social network. Braveheart, Braveheart, not accurate.
I don't know how the old story ones could really be.
I wonder if Passion of Christ is on here. I agree with that. Unfuckable? That was kind of, I kind of had to figure it out, kind of.
Yeah.
Blown out of portion of this,
So this is what I thought was weird, you guys.
I mean, I figure they're all blown out of proportion.
This part here I thought was weird. Like, this song's playing, and he's having these flashbacks between Penny and Julia Roberts' character. Basically, of the two women that he's in love with.
So lousy Elvis guy.
Well, he's on the golf
show.
That's
what you focus with. Here I'm telling you, if you look at this, this is a man struggling between two loves of his life, and he's like, there's a lousy fucking woman. You're an idiot. Do you have worth a shit of advice to give at this point?
I mean, it's...
If you say it's shitty, I'll just have to throw something at you.
That wasn't pretty Elvis.
And Justin Time had nothing to say because I'm going to throw something at
him. I just think it's kind of bullshit they're calling him like the reason for the decline of modern civilization, as you saw in that headline there.
Yeah, he kind of is.
Well,
he's kind of shit.
Jerry Springer. American Idol.
Yeah,
but those shows make people happy, so can it really be that bad?
Yeah. Yeah. Idiot, Kathy.
I was
good.
A Jerry Springer when
good.
I was in high
let,
school.
Let,
I have a
let,
videotape still.
Let the sheeple watch it.
Oh, fuck. No, what, you were at Jerry Springer?
Yeah, okay. I have a tape.
So, yeah, so do I.
Nice.
I may have the beads still, too. They're hanging up.
Oh.
Granted, I was underage, so I'm really surprised that a lot of this shit got through. Me, an ex-boyfriend, and three girlfriends skipped school and went to Jerry Springer.
Nice.
That's fine.
We are drunk.
Yeah, why wouldn't you be?
We may have done other things, but we're going to go with drunk.
Drunk, definitely, for sure.
Since two girls are nurses, the guy that I was with is a firefighter now. We were drunk and we were children.
Number six on the least accurate biopics ever made is a movie you probably won't recognize by title, called The Conqueror from 1956. But you might have heard the story behind it. It's where John Wayne stars as Genghis Khan.
Oh, I know this movie.
yeah, exactly. Catherine Lowe's enough of snow that filmmakers weren't going for accuracy.
Yeah, I think I watched it with my grandpa before, actually.
It's horrible. Next is 1991's The Doors. Jim Morrison.
That one I can attest to.
It depicts Jim Morrison as out of control, alcoholic, and heavy drug user.
But he was.
His band seems to claim this is inaccurate.
He was.
They claim it's extremely over the top.
But he was.
And it fails to show the sensitive artist that he actually was.
Actually, that's not what women see. They see him as a sensitive artist.
According to Leaper.com, it's on the top 10.
I mean, it's not accurate.
This is my list, so like, let me...
No, it's fine with me, because I'm just saying, a lot of our biopics aren't exactly accurate.
Yeah,
oh,
it's always
going to
be...
I agree, yeah.
Here.
This one is, should be number one, though, I think.
Well, and Penny walks in, he's making out with some broad, and she's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, who's this broad now? It's
just
random.
Another prostitute,
random,
probably.
Some random whore that was at the bar. And she basically is like, you fucking dick.
And he's like not been at the house a lot. And it's like, it's
never,
mainly her
yeah.
house.
This is their house though?
Which is weird.
Yeah, they bought it.
Well, he bought it. She
yeah,
lived
but,
somewhere else. But she bought it. She waited for the cable guy. She waits for the fucking plumber. She waits for everything. She gets it all set up and looking pretty. And then he comes home and he has a great house. And then tells her, okay, I got other shit to do. You gotta go to your house now.
Yeah, but who's that supposed to be, though?
His wife.
Which one?
Lynn.
The first one.
That's his wife.
They divorced in 1976?
That's the point of... He doesn't even know when
maybe
he divorced her, because...
Well, yeah. The one he married in 1980. It's supposed to be 84.
I was
while
say,
he was married to the second wife.
It doesn't even matter. That's probably
say,
the second
maybe,
wife
maybe,
in the
maybe
movie.
It's a combination of the two.
Yeah.
And
he was still a dick, no matter what. I mean, here, he pulls up to her house now. Now he pulls up to her house with a fucking batch of flowers, like, I'm sorry, I was a complete fucking moron.
I'm
like,
curious how close this is to Barris's book.
I'm
well, get Chuck Barris on the phone. Let's find out.
He doesn't know how to use a phone. He's 88 or 87.
Well, he's had plenty of time to learn, so.
So this is the part that's weird. He cries. She starts going off about, do you even like me? Do you even want me here? What the fuck's going on? He starts crying, but he can't at any point tell her, I want you. He says, I love you. And then when she says, you said I love you, he goes, oh. Really? You fucking idiot. It's like kissing a girl on a forehead. Don't do that shit. Just don't. It's so stupid.
Well, you gotta give this guy some credit, though. He did. He came up pretty much from nothing, we're assuming, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's the way it looks. He came up from nothing and made something of himself, you know, in show business.
Respectable or not.
Yeah, whatever it is.
It's still made boatloads of money.
And then he also had talent enough to churn out a couple of bestseller books. One that a movie was based off of, and he took his own life and put a twist behind it. So I'm going to make my fucking shit even cooler than I am. Yeah, I'm a cool guy. Yeah, I mean, this guy shows you know what?
Let's spice it up with some.
I'm gonna be that fucking CIA agent. I'm gonna be like fucking James Bond and shit. And he threw that in there. I'm gonna have this fucking chick on the side. And I'm not gonna talk about my wife, because fuck that bitch. I'm gonna divorce her anyway.
And I'm gonna fucking let my kid kill herself, and I'm gonna let.
Yeah,
well, there's a reason that's not in the book.
Yeah, because he's a shitty fucking dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, but he's a shitty dad.
Well, then
I'm not here defending his fatherhood.
To, you know, make money.
But even in his book about her.
Della, a memoir of my daughter came out in 2010.
Even in the book about her, he basically started by saying, I didn't want her. It was, I mean, that's a shtick. Like, I didn't want her, but I love her. Well, fuck. Really, dude? I don't care who you are. If you have a kid, you don't tell them, I never really wanted you.
Yeah. They put it kindly in there. They said, when Della decided at age 16 to move out on her own, Barris didn't object. He gave her a trust fund and let her go out into the world alone. After he issued a diet coke. This heartbreaking and clear-eyed detail as he chronicles Della's descent into addiction and her eventual death from an overdose at age 36.
After she had AIDS, she overdosed. What the fuck?
So she never healed drugs probably.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess she got even harder into them.
Yeah.
A month here, a month there. But
nope, I'm going to guess she got
not even a month.
I mean, obviously, if you're going to get AIDS, either you're going to get them from unprotected
prostitution,
sex,
probably.
Or
yeah,
from fucking heroin. So either she went harder into needles, or she was fucking
either
somebody
either way,
in
yeah
order to get more drugs. I mean, and you didn't have any say in what your kid did. You didn't tell him, knock it the fuck off.
Yeah.
No, they're 16, you send them out. You say, okay, go.
And
like
that's
what I would just
find
a
right over. Go ahead.
And that's why people find it so hard to, I don't know if you say believe or to follow through with the Mackenzie Phillips story. But you know, like, oh yeah, I was fucking my dad's best friend. And
she
didn't want
from all the family?
Yeah.
Mm.
And her dad,
no,
you know,
no,
mamas and the papas.
One day at a time.
One day at a time, sorry, yeah. You know, and her dad...
Hell of a stretch.
She's Eddie Van Halen's sister-in-law.
She's...
For TV.
She's the daughter of one of the papas on Mamas and the Papas.
She's
yeah.
She's Eddie Van Halen's sister-in-law.
And it's like, what the fuck? What? How can... Oh, he abused me, too. Oh, nobody cares. You don't know. Back then, I mean, nobody cared about what you did.
I'm wondering how Brooklyn knows about the strawberry deck and shit.
He said he's been following them. He talked to people.
Yeah.
So he probably talked to the chick.
The Tuvia.
Yeah.
Whatever her name was, yeah.
I almost said Tavia. Sorry, Tavia. I love you.
Activia?
I have a girlfriend named Tavia, so sorry about
you. You know what? I mean, if somebody got in touch with me and like, hey, this chick you dated when you were fucking 8th grade, 6th grade, whatever it was, or flirting around with, what'd you say to her that day? I'd be like, what?
Okay. Well, it was probably, hey, do you know Chuck Barris? Oh, yeah, Strawberry Dick Barris? Yeah, I know him.
Why do you call him Strawberry Dick? Well, because he told me his dick tasted like strawberries and asked me to lick it. That's all they need. They don't even know they don't need to know the full story.
Yeah.
You know, they got that out of her with a kind of fucking
sweetie,
suit and tie knocking on her door?
Sweetie, I'm going to tell you right now that girls will say shit when they're drunk and at the bar.
Oh, my God, that first.
Oh, that guy, yeah, he's got a nice dick, but he's an asshole. You know?
Get it.
So right here, he's bleeding out.
Yep.
Who's bleeding out?
George Clooney's character.
Why, what happened?
He got shot.
He was sitting...
I don't know what's going on with that. He's like bleeding into the pool?
Yeah, he's sitting on the diving board.
And he got shot.
Yeah, well, before that, he got shot.
This is where
he
saw
and
he
ran the, yeah.
That everybody thought Barris was
the mole.
The mole. And that everybody's looking for the mole, and the mole is killing people. And Barris was like, well, I don't know what to do. Which makes you so think, this is fake as shit, because how is it that this guy is so smart, but all these CIA agents aren't? Because when you come up to this part here where Julie Roberts' butt come in, you're like, really? he's the smartest one out of the bunch.
He's
a
fucking drunk
idiot.
And shit the whole time. Yeah.
And he's watching them pass shit under the table or under the...
No, that was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, they were passing it to somebody else, and he saw...
Yeah, he looked under and saw the two stalls next to him passing shit.
Oh, I thought something passed over to him.
No, but I'm pretty sure there was only two stalls in that bathroom, though.
That's what I thought,
there were two, but then there were three.
Yeah, when they were doing the handoff. Because now he's under the lights at the gong show.
I like the backstage look here, the stadium seating and that.
Yeah. Super janky.
We have about, 30 people out there in the crowd.
Yeah. And they're trying to act like there's this huge group of people there.
I like
there.
This part right here. What do you think?
What do you think? Here we are with the unknown comedian. He's got the gun to his head.
Yeah, so he's a regular on the show, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know that much about him looking at it.
Yeah, no, he's a real dude.
Yeah.
From the gun show.
Yeah, they showed a couple actual clips of him.
Okay. So he just came back and got the money? Is that what it worked?
No, he was one of their backup dudes.
Yeah, if you're real bad, they bring you back like whenever someone filled out like couldn't make it.
Okay.
Like someone that was booked had to drop out or something.
Back, kind of thing.
Sort of, but it was just like a we already know you're bad, so you just come out and you do the same sort of bad thing. Like with William Hung.
So bad that it's funny.
Yeah.
Encore.
Yeah.
Who did make those
movies? Like if I just went up there and told a bunch of really bad racist jokes.
It's pretty trash TV, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is where he loses his shit.
I guess some of them were created anyway, but...
This is definitely like the tipping point, I guess.
Is this
jumping off point.
I didn't look this up, so Justin Penn, maybe I'm asking you or Jason. Is this an actual pivotal point? Like, is there a point in the Gong Show where he seemed fucking nuts? That they were like, what's going on?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I really don't.
I feel like that would make some sort of big... But this might have been a taping, you know what I mean?
My point was like, if he was bipolar, if he had a mental disease or defect of some type, this actually would make sense. To him, he thinks somebody's out to kill him, so he's acting strange on stage.
Yeah.
And, you know what? Like, there's all these ifs, ands, and buts about it. And this is where your mom's singing happy birthday.
Yeah.
With the veil on, which makes you think it's fucking weird when the fucking prostitute does it.
Yeah.
Well, and then, I mean, first off, Charlie Kaufman wrote the script for this, and he took it from Chuck Barris's book. But then George Clooney also made changes so much that Charlie Kaufman didn't like the final turnout. He said, I spent a lot of time working on the script, but Clooney wasn't interested in the things I was interested in. I moved on, I had no animosity towards him. It's a film I don't really relate to. And I guess Clooney did later say he made changes. I said there were funky scenes that we never got the green light for a studio film.
Huh.
And it says Julia Roberts and Jim Murray got paid $250,000.
And you see everybody here kind of dancing in front of him while he's flashed back in here.
And then Brad Pitt and Matt Damon didn't get it.
They just did it for the fun of it.
They did it because Clooney's their boy.
Yeah, like one day, right?
Yeah. Not even. That was probably, an hour. Yeah.
Well, it's more important than makeup.
Yeah.
Anything else. You gotta clean your
setup. That was probably the one shot. Yeah. They sat through makeup for.
Yeah.
Here's the part where he's picturing everybody basically dead in front of him. It's so...
There is a lot of weird symbolism.
I'm not gonna lie, the whole thing sounds like he seriously has a mental illness. Like, it's just...
Well, they say he has a dangerous mind.
No, I think he's just... He needs meds.
The CIA has denied that he ever worked for him.
Oh, of course.
I don't know if I said that
The CIA would probably deny I worked for him.
Yeah, but...
Oh, I shouldn't have brought that up, huh?
Just,
Whoops. Well, at least I don't gotta go to work tomorrow.
This is the part where he's tracked the hotel room.
And we're back to the beginning, full circle sort of deal.
And then he starts pulling it together again. Because mental illness looks like this, guys. I'm jealous, but...
He's done with the low. Getting back to the medium. And he's about to hit the high again after that.
And he's going to go... And at this point, it's like, oh, he was so low because he was thinking people were coming after him. And now he's... You know what? I'm going to go to the only person that's left. And obviously, she's the only person left. And he's the only person left. And he knows he's not the mole. Holy shit, guess who's the mole? The only other person fucking left.
Yeah.
But how does he know he's not the mole? They really could be brainwashed.
I thought it was funny because when we watched this, I'm looking at this part. I saw that he got up and he zipped up his pants, and she's like making something in the kitchen, and I'm like, ooh, she's gonna poison him, right? Like that's where I'm going. And then they're sitting together and they're loving it up. He's all excited. And apparently right here is where he notices that the cheese looks different. But we won't get to that in some way.
Julia Roberts did all of her things in 6 days.
I believe it, and she was in 6 days.
One thing a day, I guess.
That's how I try to do it.
What do you think about Julia Roberts?
Especially if I'm only getting paid that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very pretty. I like her. I know a lot of people say shit about, like, horse teeth and mouth. Like, they compare her to...
Her face
Jessica,
is mostly mouth.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, like, no.
She's
pretty. That
head
one I don't agree
with. She's attractive.
But she's pretty. Like, she's
pretty.
No,
that's the rule. You can't shave if you're...
Wait, I thought I was going to shave my head.
I said go for it.
I don't know what that means.
Exactly.
Is that okay?
Just eat a chance.
Would you still love me?
Tomorrow.
He didn't say it. Right here. He's got to turn around. She sits there, and you think, oh, yes.
There's swapping the poison.
Yeah.
Swapping teas. I like this part. It's like he realizes he's going to be drugged.
Sweet. Well, he's like, he didn't even stop.
I
went
to New York.
He acts pretty good. He plays well. He's like, oh my god, he's dying of poison.
And then you get to the part, I like this part, where he hits the ground, and look, his tea is, like, steaming, but it wasn't when he put it up to his mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's typical movie shit, but it's funny, you know, you're like, oh, come on. And she goes, nah, it's too quick, you're supposed to get to the bathroom and throw up first. But she doesn't think anything of it, and she continues to sip her fucking tea.
Yeah,
she thinks she's safe.
So not only is she really the one dying at this point, but she's moving.
Takes a little bit for kick in, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she said, nah, you were supposed to make it to the bathroom and puke first, basically. And he's like doing it.
She's like, son of a bitch, I thought you'd at least carry yourself to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. I had an ex-boyfriend that he would say something a little bit smart, and he'd always be like, that's not epitaph. It'll be on my tombstone. I'm like, you're so stupid.
He's seizing up with his, you know, nose.
And here she goes, right here. Oh, shit.
I feel so good, ain't there, pretty woman?
And she's like, wait, what the fuck? Turns around, looks, and he's standing there like, hey, bitch, what up,
got
yo?
Got you.
Yeah. And this is where they go back. Okay, she pours the poison and puts the sugar cube only on him. Gets it to him. Like, it's so, like, when you see it, you're like, well, yeah, but you didn't see the sugar cube, so you don't know.
Yeah.
They look out. He looks down and realizes, yeah, nope, I'm gonna spin this shit. And makes her flip it around. I'm not flipping it. And she does.
She's really knowing that she put it right the right way.
Right.
That's bad spy work.
Yeah, that's terrible spy work.
She should have known, no, I put that down right. He fucked with it.
And either way, he was going to get it right.
Now she would have caught on.
She wasn't going to catch on.
She should.
She's a chick.
She's a pretty woman.
The pretty woman.
She's at my best friend's wedding.
She in
the
movie? Yeah,
yeah,
she is. She is.
Yeah, she's the main character,
right? Well, that runs away, right? No, that's Runaway Bride.
That's
what I was thinking of.
My best friend's wedding.
She's not
a girl.
Yeah.
She can make it this time.
I mean, she can make my Mona Lisa smile. Under a Tuscan sun, if you know what I mean.
I like that he writes no love.
I like that she's, like, shaking while she's dying. That's kind of creepy, yeah.
Well, that's... I don't know. What would you do if you were seizing up from some poison?
I'd do, like, a modern dance number.
No, you wouldn't.
Go out the bang.
Yeah?
You know? Pull my Fred Astaire moves out.
Everybody is like... Wait a minute. You have Fred Astaire moves?
You have to wait, huh?
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
What do I have to wait
for? That's the fucking WD frog. Right there.
I know, but that's what I pictured when you said I got moving.
Isn't this the beginning of his book?
I haven't read his book.
Me either.
Maybe you guys should read it.
I thought that this was the beginning of his book, though. I thought that...
It looks like he's finishing it, though. He's like...
Yeah, I think it was the end in the movie, but it was the beginning lines in his...
You know, I could pitch this asshole being clever and starting the book with the same line at the end.
That's what,
yeah.
You know? The movie was, yeah.
I could see him trying to be
like
that.
Like, ooh, look at me.
Yeah, I'm clever.
No one's ever done this before.
Yeah.
This is just fucked up. He starts naming all the movies that he's done.
Just, and you know this is all in his head. This is all his own imagination.
Yeah.
Because, come on. He's running out shows that lasted like 2 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Like, I just want you all to know that I did this many movies.
Because was that in the book? That's kind of the question I had when I watched it. Was that
part in the book? Yeah.
You're the one that reads the books. We need to make you read the books.
Fuck you.
I'm not reading this shit.
I ain't reading this
either. Just the time. I don't know about you, but I don't read unless it's an audiobook.
Yeah, give me
the
audiobook. I'll see how it works. But here you get married to some
get
wife.
Get it for free on audible.com.
Right?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's a code word.
I don't think that's
it. No, it's Audible gives you a free book for signing up.
It gives you credit for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they like they sponsor my podcast.
Oh.
So thanks for that. So.
Oh.
You have to have a promo code.
So right here, he's shaking hands.
And get a free audiobook from audible.com.
And he's like, we gotta get out of here. Everybody's out the community. Why?
Oh, yeah.
I want to know why they're all Mexican.
Yeah.
Not one of them is an actual white guy. Like, even that guy, not a white guy.
Well, they're coming here.
And he pulls her away. Bigger, we gotta go. We gotta go now.
The interesting thing is the sound on that whole thing, too, where he's just kind of freaking out how the sound changes.
Yeah.
To nothing but a
sound. But the bell, yeah.
The sound of the bell.
Or maybe it was a gong.
Oh.
I work for the CIA. You understand? I kill people.
So they said that his ex-wife, Linda, lives in Milwaukee.
That's a lot.
Wisconsin. Okay. One of the shows that I watched.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to. And, but of course nobody's been able to contact her because they're not sure if that's the actual Linda.
Oh.
Or not. But, so like...
You mean
Lynn. But they say that it's her dad that's the dentist, not his. And then a part in this movie, they say that your dad's the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And, if this part here where he jumped into the car with her and whatever, it makes you think, like, would he have really told his wife that? Like... Was it her?
Yeah.
Was it somebody else? Was that what he said when he got divorced because she left him?
This is the real him right here. Yeah.
Is the one who doesn't
throw
his brain out.
You know, when they said that...
What's the last thing he said?
I'll go back it up.
They said... What he said was a new dating game. Three old guys. They tell the truth about their lives, and whoever doesn't shoot their brains out, and they put a gun on stage. Whoever doesn't shoot their brains out at the end is the winner.
And they get a refrigerator.
Because in a part when his wife, when his he was watching TV with his dad, and his mom walked up and says, "We need new iPod." That's when he thought, you know, the newlywed game. That's when he thought, husband and wife will fucking sell each other out for a new fucking friend.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And they will. Like,
yeah.
I've watched the newlywed show, even now, the new newlywed show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, we could totally go on there and win some shit. We talk some cool shit about each other. Not the whole, where's the weirdest place you've ever wanted to have sex? In the ass. That's just weird. But, other things. It's fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like, okay, I'm done. So.
Is it time to rape it?
I suppose.
Maybe.
And, you know the song you're playing here?
Is that the one he wrote?
Oh, it's an old song. It's an old song by, Rosemary Clooney. Who is
Churchill's aunt, yeah.
Yeah. So, we gotta rate these things, huh?
We do.
Just in time. This is your pick. So, you read us on what you're rating. Our rating system is simple. It's how many beers we give this movie. We can go from a keg as the top, all the way down to a tapper.
Or a wine cooler, or yep. Whatever.
We made up our own. Yeah.
It's kind of whatever it's like, whatever level of beer this movie deserves. Justin, give us a little...
I'll give it a second.
Talk about it.
Just like I said earlier, this movie was introduced to me by my girlfriend. Just one random day. I don't know. I like it. I enjoy it. It's a little slow. It's a little longer than it needs to be for sure. There's some shit that could still be cut out, and I would like to read the book, like you said, to see what the differences are. But I imagine it's mostly just a little more gratuitous sex and, you know, a little more in-depth on the violence sort of deal.
We can hope for it, right?
That, yeah. I mean, that's what I would want out of the book.
All right.
But overall, I'd give the movie a solid salt case.
Case, huh?
Yeah. I wouldn't turn it off, but it's nothing I would... Oh, shit, I got to go home and watch this because it's on TV, you know what I mean?
Cool. All right, cool. I guess it comes with me. This is the first time I've seen this movie. I barely heard of it when you brought it up. It took a long time to jog that memory out of my brain. But, I've actually even hearing about it, not even seen it before. But I saw it, and after studying this whole story about learning about Bill Strasnick now.
Chuck
Wow, really?
Come up. He was going to call him Bill Burr.
I bet.
I'm going to call him Bill Curtis. That's what I'm going to call him.
Oh.
But yeah, Burt Curtis. Here's his story. Was
Chuck Berry?
It's pretty wild. And the fact that it was all wrong made it kind of interesting, I guess. I give credit for that because it is, it's a fucking twist on like a story.
Yeah.
And there's no, come on, there's no way it's not fucking true. So why is the girl true, fucking fake? You look at his bio, it doesn't match up. This is not a biopic, really. This is,
which is why I like it for our top five.
Yeah. This is, Bart Crowney's, like, fantasy, like,
Who?
What?
The fuck name did you just say?
Carl Davis?
Doctor Who?
Whatever, this guy.
Anyways, Bill Curtis. Pick, babe?
Oh, my rating. I give it, it's still pretty decent, it gets a little long. I'll give it a 6-pack.
I as well.
Yeah.
A 6-pack. I mean, it's a good movie for what it is. A little long, little heavy-winded.
Yeah.
But for what it is and for something that I didn't know what
Drew
it was.
Drew Barrymore up there. That was good. That was plus.
Yeah, for what I didn't know what it was really about type of thing, and then to watch it and then to read more about it, and oh, it's supposed to be a biographical pic. So, yeah, 6-pack.
Nice.
I gave it a 6, so.
Nice.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up, folks. No, this is Drunk Film Commentary. If you lasted this long,
yeah, go ahead and drop us a line at drunkfilmcommentary@yahoo.com.
And we'll get a beer, I guess, if you lasted this long.
So. Yeah, I'll get you one. Just say promo code DFC. Sure, chitterling. That's the promo code. This is. Say that to me between now and the next recording, and I will buy you a beer.
Wow. Alright, quite a promo.
And that's,
I'll be saying it to you every fucking second.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work for you guys.
Give me a motherfucker! Give me a ring!
I'm like, fuck
it. That doesn't work for you guys. Thank you.
watch the theater film.